Welcome to the Doghouse. This is like episode 413, I think, right?
Yes,
413.
It is.
413.
413.
That's like
amazing.
We used to give our... Do you remember, Phil, we used to give the episode out every week?
Yeah, it was welcome to episode 60.
Yeah, I remember when we used to give them out. It was way back there.
Way back.
You know, we don't really tout
it. That's only
it.
Because he can't count that high now.
Probably.
Well, it's hard to remember.
It is sort of hard to know when the numbers get this big, right?
Yeah.
But,
I
do remember.
Three hands.
I remember when we used to do that every week, and then we said, one week, we said, well, we're not going to do this anymore.
We were like, well, I think your argument was, why do we do this?
It might have been.
And me and the other guy didn't have any reason why we did this.
And I wasn't the other guy.
No, you weren't the other guy.
You weren't the other guy. Yeah.
And he was just like, we don't need to do this.
Well, you know, to us, it was impressive when it was episode 60. And now that we're at 413, it doesn't seem so impressive anymore, right?
It'll be impressive.
60 is a lot. It's more than a year. Most podcasts don't last a year. And
most last 6 months. Tops.
Yeah, they last six months. And I mean, four.
What did we find that one study? The average podcast ends at episode 20.
Yeah. Was it at that high? I thought it was even less than that.
No, it's episode 20.
Wow.
That means most of them don't make 5 months.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, or it means that we're not bright enough to give up.
We're incredibly slow. We are incredibly slow.
I think that is probably the correct answer.
Yeah, I think that's probably a more accurate portrayal of us. But 413, so that's pretty impressive. But anyway, and we've gone through some changes over the years. Right?
Yeah, we actually have.
Yeah.
We've gone through changes on...
not all of them good.
Not all of them good.
You know?
Did you look at me when you said that?
We both looked at Warren.
I had to bust some heads.
You know, and some better than others. Right?
Well, I was going to say, Warren, how many episodes have you been here for?
Oh,
now?
I have no idea.
I bet he's closing in on 100.
When did you start?
When you were meeting.
It's really? It's over 2 years ago?
Yeah, you're right.
We're really slow.
Of course.
You were really slow. That's right. I was in Mexico at the time.
That's right. Warren came in. He was nice enough to come
in.
You were checking out German trannies at the time. Was Horst a tranny? You never told us that.
I didn't ask.
Horst got a big dick.
And that reference has to do with the Unhinged show that we just recorded. And
yes.
Will be available for your listening pleasure on Patreon.com.
Patreon.com.
For as little as...
$1 an episode.
$1!
An episode.
Yeah, which is like... It's such a good show that a dollar is nothing.
You know, it's a great show to buy to give to your mother-in-law.
And I don't want anybody to think that actually there's even any hope of us ever making a dime on this show. I don't care if we got 100 patrons, we wouldn't make a dime. But we just lose less.
Right. It's all about losing less.
That's right, because we are charitable. Clearly.
We should be a 501c3.
Clearly, the fact that it's episode 413.
That's actually not a bad idea.
We need to figure out how to make this into a 501c3.
We talked about it a couple times.
Well, you know,
Lois Lerner is no longer at the IRS, so you could probably get it through.
Well, you know, at the time, we weren't thinking on this level, but I think with the advice we give Motor America, we could actually tell people we're working with the mentally challenged.
Yeah, that would be true.
Consultants.
That would be absolutely true. And speaking of Moto America, since you brought it up, I just want to say one more thing real quick.
No, I have a couple things I want to bring up before that,
go ahead. I'll let you do that. I just want to say, Warren mentioned it, we want to make sure that we tell everybody that, again, we have the Hinge show, and it is on Patreon, and you can go to patreon.com/NTN, sign up, share, because if you love your fellow man, you're doing them a disservice if you don't share that show. And again, that is Patreon, Patreon. .com/NTN. Join the ever-growing list of patrons. Slowly, but ever growing. It's almost not growing.
And it's the perfect gift to give to that mother-in-law that you truly just dislike.
Yeah, it's a great show if you want to offend somebody.
Yes.
And by that, we mean that. Anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, I think we've covered it all.
Any race, creed, color, religion, sex.
Mm-hmm.
If you can think of a category to offend, it has been offended.
So, speaking of offending people.
Yeah, getting us back to Moto America.
Let's start with the big news of the day.
Yes.
I want to save that for the end.
Oh, man, this is the big news.
We leave enough time that we can talk
about
it.
Well, I don't have the time set. I just ran the music. We haven't used the show bed in weeks, Ken.
That's true. He has a point. We just put it together at the end?
We went more than an hour. Yeah, we're less than an hour or more than an hour. What we should do is go back to having breaks so we can have a chance to
play the music.
Regroup.
Yes, you play the music. Yeah, right? I knew that.
So I want to poop on
just can we just cut it off there?
I'm gonna say that.
I want to poop.
I want to poop on Revzilla.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right? I'm a little
irritated.
PO'd?
You know, I'm gonna say
offended?
Annoyed. PO'd if there wasn't some truth to what they said.
Oh. That's right? One of the most offensive things you can do is be honest.
Yeah, but I kind of agree with them to a one point.
Okay.
But I don't. They put out this list, and I get it that obviously they had nothing else. And I think it was supposed to be a little cheeky, right? Mm-hmm. And the list was 10 things other motorcyclists are thinking too. Right? And I don't even see a date on this, so I think it's kind of recent, though. Mm-hmm. And it says, like, I hate when people don't wave to me. You know, like the other
motorcyclists,
right? Whatever, get over it.
My first thought is that I actually hate it when other motorcyclists wave at me.
Right, you don't like people.
I don't like it. I don't like people. If a dog waved to me, I'm good with that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pull over for another rider because I have no idea how to fix anything, right? I mean, so he's
Ken
like...
Doesn't want to pull, Ken knows how to fix things. He doesn't
he,
like
he just
people.
Doesn't pull over because it goes back to problem one.
No,
Ken
that's
people.
When I wave.
Yeah, right. Hey, hey, peace out.
That's right.
You know, I'm mortified to drop the thing. I can't do a wheelie. Sometimes I ride in bad weather just so I can talk about it. I mean, we all know that guy. I think Carly's
Is he in
cool.
the studio?
He's in the studio.
I have intentionally done that.
I rode in bad weather because I shot my mouth off and said I would. Right? I said I would ride
I can honestly
day.
Say I've only ridden in bad weather because I screwed up and got myself in bad weather.
That's one of their things is I think Harleys are kind of cool, but the people who ride them are a-holes.
Not
I can't
true.
Necessarily wait a minute, disagree with that 100%.
Not true.
Right? I mean...
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
There's only one a-hole in the studio.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Harley riders will say it about spork bike riders, and spork bike riders will say it about Harley
riders. It's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. But here's the one that kind of got my goat, and I'm gonna plagiarize and read the whole paragraph.
That really pisses Phil off when you get his goat because that was dinner.
Yeah. No, I think I pretty much had rat legs for dinner.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You did.
But the waitress had a phenomenal booty. So
that's all it counts.
It says, the title of this paragraph is, I know it's wrong, but I don't give a, and it says the S word. So I don't give a damn. But
mm-hmm. We can't say the S word.
We're not going to say the S word.
For that, you have to go to patreon.com /NTN.
You have to go to Patreon. It says, I know it's wrong, but I don't give an ass about motorcycle racing.
Ooh.
And it says, that's because you're from America. In America, we don't race on asphalt unless it's in a straight line. This road racing with corners hoopla is just a Euro trend that will soon die out. In this country, we don't spend our time darting through alleyways and dodging gondolas. As such...
Okay, they're talking about road racing here.
Yes, yes. He's talking about road racing. Mm-hmm. As such, it's okay to go right out and buy a new no-nonsense glide and ignore racing until you're dead. But start watching Supercross. You'll probably like that. There's fireworks, energy drinks, and diesel trucks all over the place. It's like 4th of July at every race. Everyone loves Supercross. The Monster Energy girls make Supercross, right? No. The racing's great in Supercross, right? I have no argument.
Is this to give you any insight into what Revzilla sells?
I'm going to guess energy drinks.
No,
they sell motorcycle accessories.
They sell motorcycle accessories and a lot of off-road stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and a lot of clothing.
I just felt like okay, if Moto America wasn't screwing up so bad, mm-hmm. they should be attacking Revzilla. Unfortunately, they can't attack them because who the hell knows what Moto America is outside of this room?
Be in sports, who cashes the checks?
No, they don't know. They don't know.
Oh, they know what it is.
No, because if they know what it is, you wouldn't have watched tennis.
They know what it is because it's on the checks. That's all they care about.
Right, but what I'm saying is I was offended that Revzilla, in a non-helpful way, mm-hmm. I poop on Moto America all the time. I just pooped on them this week.
Well, you don't poop on the race, and you pooped on the lack of publicity and the lack of ability to know
where it's
going.
Well, I pooped on the way they're running the series. Well, yeah. the way they're running the series into the ground. The things that they're not doing.
Because no one knows.
Because no one knows. right? I mean, I do that a lot. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing to them, and maybe they're not even smart enough to know. I think they're lazy. I don't know that they're dumb. I think in general they're lazy. Like, Josh Herron was on Facebook this week asking his fans how to get people to the races.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe you should talk to these people who are charging you to race in their series about getting off their ass and doing some publicity. I don't care about the rules for racing anymore. Spend money getting people there.
I do as much publicity in the Washington, D.C. area for Moto America as Moto America
does. No, you do more.
You do more.
You do more.
We do more.
We do more.
Yeah. We've talked about it on those.
I wear their T-shirt. I wear their lanyard. People ask me about it. I tell them about it.
Here's what I want to say. Right, I sent a big long letter to Josh Herron. I don't know what he's going to do with it, about things that they could have done A, for free, and B, to just reach bunches of people, right? Because he was wondering what it was, and he
knows a lot of the stuff, right? From when we were down in Barber,
right? And when we talked to him down at Barber, you could tell Josh Hayes, Josh Herron came back from Moto 2 with a totally different outlook on motorcycle racing.
Definitely,
right? Totally different outlook, right? And you know, at this point, I don't care if he shows Moto America what I send him or not. I don't. It's nothing I ain't said to their faces.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm going to say. It's got to be embarrassing if you're Moto America that your racers are going out trying to figure out how to get people there. That they're struggling this much and you're spending all this time, effort, and money to make the series better.
I'll tell you what, Phil. I think it'd be a good thing if they're embarrassed a little bit.
But they need to be. So this is what I want. I don't think they are. I know.
These were all, I mean, a lot of these things are things we told them to their faces when we were down there. Twice.
Yeah. Barbara, VIR, and then again on the phone, three times actually, twice in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
If you are an American, or I don't care if you're a foreigner, but if you're an American, because it's our series, and you're pissed off about the lack of attention Moto America's getting, tweet them and tell them.
And ask
tag Shift Point Mag me. Tag, put Josh Herron in it so that he knows. I know you guys never do anything for us. You don't care about us. We're a guilty pleasure. You're embarrassed that you listen to us. You wouldn't give us if we were on fire and only a nickel could put us out, you'd let us burn. I get it.
It costs a dollar for that.
I get it.
we can't go less than a dollar.
I get it, but I'm just saying, that you guys have never stepped up for us. Step up for Moto America. Step up for Josh Herron. Step up for Bobby Fong.
He's not even Asian.
He needs your help.
I'm going to defend some of our listeners because there are a few that have stood up for us. So I don't want to say none of them have.
Okay, but I'm just talking.
And you can find them on patreon.com/NTM.
Yes, you can, you shameless plug bastard. Yeah. I love it.
And if you don't think that Moto America's product is not that good, you didn't see the racing from this weekend. The racing this weekend was
because it
awesome.
Looked a lot like tennis to most of the world.
Yes. Well, I was getting to that. You'd had to see it on tape delay, or you'd have to watch it some other way.
No, not if you set your machine to tape.
Yeah, you would have got a lot of thump.
Keep doing that in my ear. See what happens to you. But what I'm saying is if you want to save this version of American Superbike Racing, the Moto America series, right? You need to tell them you're doing a piss poor job, because it's not. I mean, I'm reading on Facebook on Moto America's site. They put up this thing. Did you see JD Beach race Garrett Gerloff in the end? And people were saying
race no.
That's right.
The overnumber on their own Facebook page. No. Well, I can't get that where I am. Hey, when are you going to put a streaming package out? When Wayne Rainey first announced he had that, we said, Wayne, the number one thing you have to have is a streaming package.
Yep.
Right? Did they listen? No.
Nope.
Do they care? I don't think so.
Nope.
I don't think they actually care.
Because they're getting, somewhere, and I don't know where it's coming from, they're getting bad advice, and they're following
it. Yes, and they're following it. And they're hook, line, and sinker in their bad advice.
And it could be in the media, I don't know, in the motorcycle media said, you know what you have to do? You have to get tied up with World Superbike and MotoGP.
I'm going to say something bad.
Yeah, okay.
Right? This is like when I screwed the relationship up between DMG and AMA Pro Road Racing, right? AMA and DMG, I screwed that all up, right? I'm about to screw up something else.
Okay.
I think I know where their source of bad information is.
Oh, please tell us.
Road Racing World Magazine.
Ooh.
Right? Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
because on Facebook on Wednesday of last week, there was a lot of talk going back and on social media, and there was some on Twitter about, well, where do we watch it? And Road Racing World Magazine jumped right into Defend Moto America and say, well, you can watch it on Bean and Bean Direct, which you can't.
You can't watch it.
Warren has Bean, and we can't watch it on Bean Direct.
No. Yep.
Right? And they said, and then they not said, there. And you can go to this streaming site, you can go to that streaming site, right? They went all these things. And there were other people there that said, well, I tried this one, and I chimed in. I said, well, I tried the first three that you told me. It cost me $150, and you never put the races there. Why would I risk my money again?
Right?
And then people were saying, don't be cheap. It's not about the money. I just can't keep throwing $50 at every Tom, Dick, and Harry harebrained idea. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is Road Racing World is a great news source, an information source if you're already vested in the sport.
But they're not publicity.
They're not a publicity company, and they're too invested in Moto America with their teams, with their that being the base of their
things. You got to go.
They're not objective.
Yeah, exactly.
And when Moto America says, we're going to do this, Road Racing World says, that sounds like a great idea. Nobody sits there. If Road Racing World came up to John, if John Ulrich walked up to Wayne Rainey and said, hey, you're screwing the pooch.
Mm-hmm.
Things would change. They would change instantly.
Mm-hmm. I bet you that tune is going to change, though, because we know that they're having problems with their sponsors.
Yeah.
And if people don't see your product, it doesn't really do me any good to sponsor your races, right?
When your race is supposed to be on Saturday afternoon, and for the last 2 weeks, Saturday afternoon has been El Clasico soccer and some kind of tennis with no name players out,
but so when your racing is replaced by fuzzy balls, you got problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And they got problems, and I don't want to say that Road Racing World's giving them bad advice. I think Road Racing World is yes-manning them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
or they don't have a better answer.
Or they don't have a better answer.
Well, and it's also not their job.
It's not their job, right? It's not.
But I
agree 100%.
We are,
but it's also not their job to make it.
We were the outside source that offered them free advice. We offered it to Wayne Rainey. We offered it to Paul Carruthers. We gave him the free advice on what they needed to do, and I don't see that they took any.
Told them a way to reach 2 million bikers a month for free.
Yep.
All it took was an hour of work. Mm-hmm. An hour of work a month. I don't see it.
2 hours at most.
2 hours at most. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Right? We told them. I mean, here, the number one thing they need to do is hire a publicist.
Yep.
Right? Why can't Josh Harris, when Elena Myers was racing in the series, how come she wasn't on Dancing with the Stars?
How come they're not on local radio stations in D.C. area when they're at
VR? How come they don't have a media press kit that actually has media contacts for the teams? Mm-hmm. How come when we want, you know why we don't do interviews anymore? Because I'm sick and tired of trying to spend hours and hours on Twitters going back and forth with guys, and I'm not sick and tired of it, right? Mm-hmm. I just, because I can't not have this conversation. I get so pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and every other form of racing, including flat track, I have the flat track press credential. I mean, the flat track media kit there. It lists every guy's media contact, even when it's just them.
Yeah,
right. And
flat track is taking off.
Right, you know what? Flat track on Flat Track Live this week from Arizona on their
streaming.
Facebook Live page had like 27,000 people watching.
And arguably, Flat Track runs for pennies on the dollar compared to Moto America.
Yeah.
It does very cheap series to run.
Right.
Very cheap series to run.
I'm just saying, they're getting bad advice. They spent all this time. 3 years you've been telling me you're going to make the racing better. You're going to make the racing better.
And the racing is better.
Who cares if nobody watches?
It is better now.
It's better.
Now you got to step up and do the other side of it.
Yeah, but you're already killing your sport. People,
yeah, it might
Warren's
be too
walking
late.
Around bike events. I walk around places and people go, what's Moto America?
Yep.
Right? You know what? The Harley riders are
It's funny you mentioned that.
Jackcrap guys.
I was talking to somebody today. And they were asking for advice. They were looking at doing some stuff out at Summit Point, which is a local racetrack here, for those who haven't heard that on the show before. And I was telling them about Roger Lyle's corner
motorcycle
speed.
Motorcycle Excitement.
His corner speed school, right?
Well, he now calls it Motorcycle Excitement.
But it doesn't matter. But yeah. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's to learn how to, and I said, you know, he does a lot of stuff. He's done stuff that's associated. A lot of his people have gone on to Moto America. And this person who was interested in doing track days and stuff like that had never heard of Moto America. What's Moto America? And I said, that's pitiful.
Yeah. You know, Harley Rider, everybody says, well, you know, you can't reach out to certain groups because the Harley riders aren't what they used to be. That whole jet bikes or crap bikes.
No, they're much older, right? They're much older now, aren't they, Warren?
Well, those guys are disappearing. Like, guys like Warren, what was your first bike that you rode?
The Honda.
Honda, right? Mm-hmm. What was your first dirt bike?
Honda.
Honda, too? Okay. What was your first street bike?
Honda.
Right. So Warren's your typical now Harley rider.
What are you riding now?
Honda.
Harley.
Right, but
I kept it in the same alphabet.
What was my first motorcycle? Kawasaki.
Oh, you suck.
Yep.
Right? My first bike was a Cow.
The first one that I owned was a Kawasaki, too.
Right.
But it wasn't the first I rode.
So I'm not, it's no longer like, oh, that sport bike is crap. You know, it's more like, wow, hey, this is cool. They got a great product. They just ain't inviting anybody to see it. Mm-hmm. They're just, and listen, how hard is it to send an email to the 200 clubs within 4 hours of VIR?
Well,
you know what, get off your lazy ass and do
something. Pittsburgh's coming up, and there's 3 hours from Pittsburgh. You got how many Harley dealerships within the Pittsburgh metro area? You can count Morgantown, Triple S Harley. Are they going to get any free tickets to give away?
Nope.
Are they going to even know that Moto America is in the race? Is racing?
Right.
2 hours north.
You know what?
I think you're making the mistake that DMG made. DMG tried to bring in the Harley people and never succeeded on. The problem was they didn't reach out to the Kawasaki, Suzuki, the Yamaha.
You got to reach them all.
Right, you got to reach them all, but let's assume you have a limited budget, right?
Okay,
and you're trying to promote, right, racing, motorcycle racing, not flat track, but you know, motorcycle track racing, right, in the US road racing, for lack of a better term, it's not really a true term, but anyway, where are you going to go, sport bike riders? That's the first place you go.
How much does it cost to send 2 free tickets to every Yamaha dealer in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area?
Not enough. I mean, you could send 5 free tickets to every Harley dealer, and I'd have no problem with that. But you should be, every radio station should have 50 tickets to give away to your event. Every podcast having to do with motorcycle racing
tickets. Use it any racing venue.
Yeah, yes. General Motor. Right. We should get a package of 50 of 102
to every race.
Well, 102. Mm-hmm. All access Moto America races, so that if somebody,
anywhere
we do a prize, right, that if somebody wants to go to Laguna, mm-hmm. Laguna Seca, or they want to go here, it's a Moto America ticket for whatever one they want, and we give away 2 a week, right? That would do more than what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Who the hell goes to those things alone? And somebody gave my friend IMSA tickets to VIR. 6 of us went down because 2 of us had free tickets. Right, that's the way that works. Mm-hmm. The riders, you know, I said this in a message to Josh Herron, right? Mm-hmm. Patricia Fernandez, a super stock rider who's from Fredericksburg, Virginia. So this is real to us. This is I used to go to bike night in Fredericksburg on Wednesday.
It's local.
600 to 800 bikes.
Right.
Right. And you know how many times I saw her inviting people to come to VIR to watch her race? Her inviting people, you know, her showing off her bike there? None.
Right.
50 people easily would have went from that if the young girl who was racing there was at their bike night.
Mm-hmm.
A group of 50 of them would have gone.
Standing up in front of her race bike on a trailer.
Right.
Showing it off. And answering questions.
You know, but Moto America isn't even providing a direction for people to do that. They're not even, they're doing nothing. They're sitting on their ass. We got to make the racing better. Wayne Rainey told us, I listened to the show. He's like, well, I think, you know, we need to make the racing better, and good racing finds watchers. Or something like that.
He doesn't have the audience now.
But he doesn't have the audience. And here's what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Flat Track is about to run them rancid. Flat Track's crowds are growing. Flat Track's online presence is growing. Flat Track's guys are becoming celebrities.
And we've already had this discussion, maybe on the air, maybe off. That's true, and it will continue to do that if Harley gets their crap together. I wanted to say a different word. Mm-hmm. If it keeps seeing an Indian sweeping it every freaking weekend, by the end of the summer, you got a year of that.
Next year, if Harley ain't winning races by next year, I agree, it's gonna hurt.
Yep.
Right, it's gonna hurt, but Flat Track is gaining. You know, Valentino Rossi, big Flat Track fan. All these things, right? You see these guys at these Flat Tracks. You don't see them talking about Moto America.
One of the things.
I would combine Flat Track and Moto America into a great weekend.
How hard is it to find Flat Track races?
How hard is it to find them?
It's
to
easy.
Watch them.
Online?
Exactly.
It's easy. Finstroice.tv.
Exactly.
For all weekend.
Yeah.
For Facebook.
Listen, exactly right.
I couldn't watch the damn race at VIR 4 hours from my house, but I could stream the Northwest 200 in Ireland.
Right. That's the reason. That's the reason. And I
that's
think that's
ridiculous.
What they're missing. That's what they're missing.
All right. Well, we
beat him up enough.
Let's talk about the actual racing.
It
was
great. Looked a lot like Four Love.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Come on.
Fourth set. I kept waiting. Okay, this is going to be over.
Point.
It's a two. She's going to two. No, now they're going to a third set. Oh, now they're going to a fourth set.
And you kept watching, hoping the race would come on.
I kept going back and forth.
Nice, I gave up.
So they were down at VIR, a track that we all love. I hate the name Championship of Grand Prix of Virginia. Yep. That's kind of, yeah. I'm not a...
Lame.
Lame. When it was the Big Kahuna, cool. I want to be a part of that. Championship of Virginia, nah, so much.
Mm-mm.
I do watch F1, so I can't say anything about that. But yes, we had our race down there. In the Super Sport races, I almost said Heron. Gerloff and Jiggy Dog, JD Beach.
They were at it all weekend.
And they swapped. And they swapped.
Over and over
They swapped victories.
No, they swapped positions probably 100 times each race.
Yeah, no, it was good racing. And that's the problem. The problem is that good racing and very few people saw it.
Yeah.
Including me, because I recorded it and I got tired of watching people serve us a little fuzzy ball.
Well, I live in the 85% of America that actually can't get beans.
Yep.
So that's my bitterness. See, my bitterness is there too.
That's
you know,
why it needs
and for
to be
everybody,
available
everybody that sends me, you can get Sling TV or something like that. You know what? You can send you make a contribution to Patreon and I'll buy Sling TV. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. The big thing was for the weekend was Tony Elias.
And Josh Herron.
Going to get into it.
Josh. Next time I see Josh Herron, I'm going to offer to be his bodyguard and his secretary of offense.
He doesn't need a bodyguard from Tony Elias. Tony Elias weighs about 75 pounds.
I know. That's why I think it would be an easy, fun fight. Right?
Right.
But Josh Herron. Josh Herron.
An umbrella girl could beat the crap out of him.
Some of those umbrella girls could beat the crap out of me.
You would enjoy that too much.
Yeah, I would. But the big news was in race one of the Superbike races, Josh Herron, who had the pole. I mean, he's a privateer team.
Yep.
Got the pole. Kyle Wyman's doing good this year.
Yeah.
Bobby Fong. On a superstock bike. I always said Bobby Fong's fast.
He made it to the podium.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, he got that way running from the other kids when he was young.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But
damn name.
Damn it, Ma. Damn it, Dad. Mm-hmm. But Herron and Elias collided. Herron probably overcooked it a little much into the turn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, I don't think it was intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but
it was
aggressive, but that's racing. Yeah.
So after, I mean, Herron got up right away and started apologizing to Elias. I wouldn't do that because it's foreign, right? mean,
well,
we all know
he
my
also
statement.
Did get penalized for it.
He did get penalized for it, but then Roger Lee, you know, I guess Elias and Herron went a little bit back and forth on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Roger Lee, I know he doesn't like being called that anymore.
That's why
I'm calling him that. Roger Lee jumped into Herron and said something along the lines of, I guess he hasn't figured out how to ride a super bike yet. So then Josh Herron was being interviewed by those people that run the series. I can't remember their name because I think it's Bean Sports.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Moto America, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they asked him about Roger Lee's comments. And Josh Herron said, well, you know, I've actually won a superbike championship, and I'm not sure why I would take advice from somebody who can't win a superbike championship.
No.
Oh! And then he said, yeah, and I've also been racing super sport with the likes of Danny Eslicks, who, you know, who knows how to race hard and stuff like that. And he was like, and they said something, and they were like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, I've won a championship. Roger Lee hasn't. I know how to ride the bike.
And it's true. I mean,
it's true. Damn true.
I'm a big Roger Hayden fan, and in my opinion, that was the stupid. He should stay out and let Tony Elias and him battle
it out. Let your boyfriend fight his own battle.
I understand being supportive of your teammate, but there are points where it's like, don't point to a guy who's won a championship. Don't move.
When they did the press conference, though, and Herron and Elias were going at it, Hayden was over there just kind of – you know, looking at the ceiling.
That's a smart. He should have kept it that way. Should have kept
I know,
it that
but
way.
It was kind of funny to watch those should two going at it.
And it started out with Tony Elias being really condescending towards Heron. So yeah,
he's a foreigner, right?
He's been that way since the start.
Last week,
I thought he was getting ready to cry after that incident.
You know, nice sunglasses. My sister has the same set. Elias.
They all wearing them. I think they must have some kind of sponsorship for them. I don't care for free.
Nobody wears those things if you have to pay for them.
I don't know if there's a company. Listen, if somebody had the money to pay those guys to wear those sunglasses, they have the money to market the series.
I'm almost certain that they are being paid to wear those.
Yeah. And then Josh Hayes in the second race won his birthday race, right? He's 61. He won his 61st race.
No.
That's young. Come on, that's young.
I know I'm just in a hateful mood today. Mm. I think that would be a story if...
In a way, it is a story.
It is.
In my opinion, it's a story because, be honest with you, I didn't think he'd win any races this season. I really didn't.
And the way he looked this week on that second race, he only won
because Bouvier threw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Well...
Yeah,
but it would have been the two of them at the very end, that's for sure.
But let's not forget, okay?
But Bouvier threw it away at the same place on both days.
This is the first year that the Yamahas and the Suzukis have been on par.
Yeah.
So for him to win a race, in my opinion...
And the fact that two of these privateer teams
are... Pretty impressive for a guy that retired 20 years ago.
Oh, sure.
You know?
If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
It would be a great story if it was like Josh Hayes on a privateer team after 10 years of, you know, backmarkering wins a race.
In my opinion, the biggest story of the year, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could, the biggest story of the year would be for Bobby Fong on a Superstock 1000 to beat the Superbikes.
Yes.
He's already got a podium.
Yep.
I'll say this. Mm-hmm. That hurts Moto America, the series.
Why do you think it hurts the series?
Because they've been saying all this stuff about, you know, getting the best competition and this, that, and the other thing. That if a guy comes on a super stock and beats a guy on a super bike, that's bad. That means your rules that you're wasting all this friggin' time ain't working.
I actually think that it is working, because the thing about it is I always thought the race in the super stocks, and it's been this way since they started having them race together, that having the super stocks and the super bikes race together, I thought it was a complete waste, right? And then they started saying your position was going to be like, you won your super stock 1000, you were the first super stock 1000 guy, and okay, you get a separate podium for that, which I always thought was lame. If a super stock 1000 bike beats a super bike in there, that sort of proves the fact that they can compete against the super bike.
Well, that just, yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, they cheat really
well, it's obvious that that some of them can compete now.
Now. But it wasn't like that the prior 2 years.
No.
You know, it wasn't like that. So I'm pretty impressed.
And Bobby Fong's fast.
Bobby Fong is fast, but this isn't his first time around. I mean, he's got clearly got a better bike than he had last year.
Yeah, and he's what, 31? He's got a lot of track experience on these things.
He's still a young guy in Korean years.
there goes that last Bobby Fong fan.
No, Bobby Fong fans love this show.
Bobby Fong is not Asian. We've
met Bobby Fong.
We broke that story.
Yes,
that
is a Doghouse original.
Yep.
But yes, I don't know. I'm not even sure who's leading the points anymore, right?
I got this at the very bottom here. Yeah. Let's see.
It's probably still Cameron Bouvier. Well, I don't know how much this hurt him.
Okay, Superbike Championship standings, Elias, Bouvier, Hayden, then Hayes. Bobby Fong is in fifth.
How far ahead is Elias?
10 points.
So yeah, it was the crash that killed him. That's what it was.
Superstock 1000, it's Bobby Fong.
Yeah, it's got to be Bobby Fong.
Bobby Fong.
Matthew Schultz, it's about 15 points.
Yep.
Supersport, Gerloff over Beach, followed by Benny Salas.
Yeah,
that's the argument for,
4 points.
That's the argument for why always finishing strong pays off in the end of the season.
Wreckers and checkers.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
That's the thing there.
That's the problem that's part of the problem Beach has had is he's strong, but he's had some bad outcomes this year.
Yes.
So.
But we're also getting ready to move into, it's like last season, he won a bunch of races towards the end of the season.
That's true.
Because he got on tracks that favored him. He's already got.
Yeah, you can't bet against him.
You got two wins and he's on tracks really he didn't win last year.
You can't bet against him, but, Gerloff is actually a great racer.
Yes.
No, he is.
I'm actually surprised that the two of them haven't already moved up.
Well, I think because they're both on Graves Yamaha and waiting for.
So, I mean, if
Bouvier's never. Bouvier's to an age where he's not going to get the call. And Heron, I mean, Florida's calling. I mean, Hayes, is Florida's calling Hayes.
Yeah, that is true. But
well, there was a
now,
lot of.
But see, the thing is, now that there's competition out there, now because we have it, the Yamahas were so dominant. Yeah, but I could see Beach going up to Superbike and winning on a Suzuki.
Yoshimura
doesn't own Suzuki, right?
No, it's just one team. Right. Oh, yeah, listen.
So another Suzuki team could show up, and he would be a great rider for him.
I still hope that Beach gets the call to go run World Super Sport or Moto 3.
I'd like to see that happen.
I think the problem is
a bit of there's a bit of prejudice.
No respect. For the Americans.
No, and I think there's a bit of prejudice, against him because of his speech impediment, you know? I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves. The guy can race in every form of motorcycle racing.
Everything. Yeah.
Everything. And I think he doesn't get the respect that he deserves.
Only on the doghouse. We love him.
Yeah, we love him. He's
a racer's racer.
This is a guy who could race a Moto 2 and be competitive, in my opinion, on team right away.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Not on a suitor, though.
No. Are they around? Oh, yeah.
Yes. The new suitor's out there, and the it hasn't been that impressive. So
we should jump over to Arizona because we need to talk about Arizona just a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Because
yeah, even though we forgot to watch it.
Even though we forgot to watch it, I'm looking at the singles, and Shayna Texter won again. Gives her, what, three races?
Yeah, that's like really impressive.
That's a big milestone.
Yeah.
That is, to me, that's a, you know, because for a long time, her and Elena Myers were tied with two races, mm-hmm. two race wins apiece in professional motorcycle racing.
And that's where she was when she left Elena Myers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And Shayna Texter keeps on winning races.
Yeah. And she moved back to Honda. She says the singles are a better mm-hmm. fit for her. Right?
Yeah,
size and strength.
Yeah, I would agree.
She's
with
a
that.
Tiny girl. When I met her at Hagerstown, I was actually shocked at how small she actually is.
Yeah,
but you know, I thought that was a big hit. Now, also the guy leading the points in the singles is suspended, right? Because you know he likes the Chiba. So, but she won, and you got a race to win.
That is true.
And then in the twins. Again, it's Indian, all three spots, another podium sweep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, like I've said several times, if the motorcycles for Harley and Indian were 100% equal, Indian's got the better riders right now.
Here's the thing.
Indian was smart. They locked down the best riders right from the beginning, and I don't think the bikes are equivalent.
No,
they're not. I don't think they are either.
The top Harley finished 14th, which Jersey Jake Johnson.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
That had to be horrible. Something, because they've been finishing
better
than that.
They didn't make it through. Well, you know what it is, right? They didn't make it through qualifying, because there was only one Harley in the final.
Yeah, so they started.
Right? So they started behind the eight ball.
Right.
And the thing is wow, a KTM even made it. The other thing is I think Yamaha and Kawasaki, and we said this at Daytona. Right, Yamaha and Kawasaki are now like, oh, wait, we are here on American Flat Track, too. They're seeing the views they're getting on Facebook Live, mm-hmm. on FansChoice.tv. They're seeing the attendance at the races.
Yep.
And they're saying this is a great place to push our product. And I think they're investing money into this Kawasaki Ninja 650 and the the FZ07, which is the Yamaha bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Harley's way behind the eight ball, and they better be careful because they could end up further behind the eight ball. You know, I mean, you got Sammy Halbert on a Yamaha. You got Vanderkools on a Kawasaki. Brian Bowman's on a Kawasaki.
Yeah, they need to
pay. These are guys that can boogie.
They got to – if Harley gets their bike straightened out, which I have no doubt that they will eventually, they got to have the right riders.
The problem is they're going to have to prove that their bike is competitive before they'll be able to lure a better rider. That's the problem they're going to have now. If the rest of the season goes the way that this has been, they're going to have a harder time next season attracting riders.
Yeah, possibly.
No rider out there wants to be the guy who finishes in 9th, 10th, 14th place.
Right, this, you know, up until this race, they have been, you know, finishing, you know,
6th.
4th, 5th, and 6th.
I think 6th was their average finish before this.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of 4ths, too.
Yeah, they've had a couple of 4ths. They had a couple of podiums.
And a couple 9ths and 8ths, too, so... I think the problem is what's killing them is that that bike didn't
They rushed it because of Indy, what Indy did.
They rushed it because Indy was already had a fair amount of development in that bike. So,
yeah.
We'll see, but they're going to have a
stronger... They're playing catch-up.
And they're going to have a strong second half of the season, or it's going to be tough. It's going to be bad for them next season. Yeah. And it's going to be bad for the sport if the Indian keeps dominating like this.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some World Superbike, and then we do have a Supercross announcement that just broke today.
Yep.
So World Superbike was at Imola.
Before we get into that, I just want to say that I'm glad to be here in the studio sharing stupidity with the three of you guys. With the other two of you guys, all three of us.
Wait, what did we do?
We'll talk about that.
Is it the Johnny Rea versus Johnny Ray comments?
No,
because I do dock people for 50 points from the pool.
This is the why weren't we a little bit more attuned to the fact that in Imola there's one particular racer who's dominated the last three spot, but it didn't help, right?
What?
Who did you pick?
A Davies for the double.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Very good, Phil. I didn't realize
that. I knew that. He's won Imola for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
It's a good thing you did, because it would have been worse if you didn't know since you've been running the pool, right? Yeah. You have all the stats.
I had to pick really early this week because I was out of town. I had to make my picks on Wednesday.
I didn't, but you know, Davies was my preseason favorite before the season kicked off, and I've been very disappointed with him so far this season. So I didn't even look at how he had done in the past at Imola. I just assumed that
I remember
who's the safe points pick every week.
Ray's the safe points pick.
No question about it.
But there are going to be tracks that the Ducati's going to be better on and that Davies is better on. Davies has good tracks and bad tracks.
Well,
the problem is that
Okay, I'm going to argue with you about that.
Okay.
Second part of last season, he was good everywhere.
Yeah, but those were his good tracks, right? They don't repeat tracks.
Yeah, I mean, Imola. Right? Imola's in the first part of the season.
Right, and he always does well there. That's a track that's good for him.
Go look at the last seven stops on the tour, and he was far better than he had been in prior years on those tracks.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that he was the strongest rider in the second part of the season last year. There's no question about it.
But Davies and Sykes has done nothing for me in the pool, so I went with the safe bet of Rea for the double, and I screwed almost everyone up in the pool. Good for you for listening to me.
That didn't hurt you, because he was still a good points pick.
Yeah. He's still a good points pick. Well, here, before we get
but
too far into World Superbike, I want to talk about 5 minutes, if that, on World Supersport. PJ Jacobson got the pole. I think the Envy Agusta is doing better than we thought it would do.
Well, I think that's PJ Jacobson, in my opinion.
Right, and I think that's all talent of Ryan.
Still think it's hurting him overall.
It is, because the bike just doesn't seem to have it in race conditions.
Nope.
He did get the podium.
Mm-hmm.
He's still sitting there fourth in points.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Safwakru
arguably
is going to be in the points lead.
Some of his
weeks.
Competition left. Randy Krumanaka, who's not been impressive in World Superbike so far, was really strong last year in Supersport, right?
Yeah.
So that took one guy out of there. So arguably,
but my highest, so I would say his
he
name.
Should be you would say that PJ Jacobson on the same bike he was on last year would have been on the podium every week, right?
Yeah.
In World
he'd
Supersport.
He'd be points leader with two or three wins now.
He'd be right.
Right, and Safwakru, who's now back two races and has two wins, would be chasing him, not the other guys.
Yep, right.
Unfortunately, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Right,
it's not a championship competitive bike.
No,
he's only in fourth place because he's riding the crap out of that bike.
Yes,
right.
He is, and that, you can tell that by that one race where he wrecked three times.
Yeah,
because he was just pushing it so hard.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I want.
He's getting everything possible out of that bike,
and a little bit more.
And it's not enough.
Mm-mm. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the World Superbike. Mm-hmm. Davies is just strong at Imola.
Yeah, amazingly strong. I didn't realize he had basically doubled the last 2 years.
Yeah,
like six races in a row.
Six races in a row there. Yeah, right. he's
apparently he doesn't know he's not Italian.
Right. Well, and if you noticed, they even brought Dovizioso in. To sit there in the pits to see how to actually win a race on a Ducati. Mm-hmm. Or they were saying, see that guy?
Wait a minute.
That's your replacement.
Wait.
That's more likely.
I was going to say, Dovizioso has won.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm just being a jerk.
Right. But you are right. Chaz Davies has won a lot on a Ducati. Apparently, Marco Melandri needs the same training.
Yeah, well, I think next week they'll be sitting Marco Melandri and, I mean, Dovizioso in there. I think, I think what happened is Jorge Lorenzo went to Marco Melandri's pit box.
So I'll ask you guys, I'll ask you guys right now, do you think if there's somebody other than Marco Melandri, who Marco Melandri arguably is a pretty talented racer with a hot wife or girlfriend, whatever she is, I never remember, whether they're married or not, and that's the number one thing you have to offer, which works for me, don't get me wrong, works for me, but is there a better racer to be on that bike than him?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. There's some other guys riding satellite Ducatis in World Superbike who, in my opinion, would be Javi Forres. There's a couple other guys out there that I think would be.
And even there's a couple guys on.
He's not bad, and it's not like he's not getting. He got a podium, right?
Yeah, no, he's not doing hard. He actually has 1, 2, 3, 4 podiums.
Yeah, he's not doing terrible.
No, 5. I'm sorry.
He's not doing terrible, but he hasn't gotten the win.
I'm sorry. He has 6 podiums.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten the win.
He hasn't gotten the win, and I don't think you're going to see him get the win.
Well, then that's my opinion.
Right, he's not
competing with Chaz Davies. What did he finished at one point? Like, Chaz Davies says, why is he so much faster on the bike than Marco Melandri? Is it early, maybe?
Well, didn't Rossi one time say, for every 100 years you're alive, you lose a tenth of a second?
Yeah, that's true.
Something like that.
Yep.
Who's probably approaching that himself.
Well, you do have the three big guys, Sykes, Rea, and Davies. And then
you got everybody else.
Right. And then you got everybody else.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
As much as we gave Ducati a really hard time,
yeah,
right, before, we've given them all around.
Yeah,
a hard time.
I was just a jerk, right?
Right, right. Well, you practice a lot, Phil. So, but you should be good at it by now.
I'm a pro.
But the thing is that the Ducati has been competitive in World Superbike for a couple seasons now, right?
Yes.
Right? So there's probably some hungrier, younger riders that would have been a better choice. And
right.
Debbie
well,
Flores
I think,
is a
I
good
think
example.
They went. I think they went. So here's what I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is Marco Melandri the rider and also bike developing guy? Right? Are they using him for his input for bike development? I mean, he has been riding for, 600 years? Right? And I'm not picking on him.
I don't know. Yeah, you are.
Isn't he like 40?
I don't know how old he is.
I think he's like 40.
I don't think he's 40. 32, maybe?
I thought he was over 40 when he retired.
Don't know.
He's born in 82. Wow, he's only 34?
Yeah, see, I was close.
You were closer than Phil was.
By far. I was only up by 2 years.
Wow, okay.
He's not that old.
Man, I don't know. I always think he's like 40.
That's his height in inches.
40 inches?
That's about right.
I don't
right.
know if he's at 5'5". He's like your height.
No. I'm well taller than him.
You're 5'6 and a quarter.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm bigger than that laying down.
No, I'm... But I agree with you. I think if he's not there for bike development, right? I mean, I guess he's solid points, but he's not going to get you the win.
Not if things stand right now. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I'll be more than happy to eat crow if he wins a race before the season's over with. I don't see it right now. He's so demonstrably slower than Chaz Davies on that bike. I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't see him winning a race. I see him exactly
he'll
where
a
he
more
is.
He'll get a couple more podiums.
He's going to get some thirds in a couple seconds.
Yeah, he'll get a number of podiums.
And he'll finish fourth in points, and Ducati will have 2-4 or 1-4.
There's a life lesson to be learned by watching World Superbike right now, and that is when things look really, really bad, I almost said the S word, when things look really, really bad and depressing and all that, and you can have a smile on your face like Tom Sykes, you got to say, wow, I couldn't do that.
No.
Tom Sykes has managed to smile his way through. There's a guy I'm racing with on my team that I have no hope right now of beating, and I was a world champion, right? And was almost a world champion. Effectively, he was almost a world champion 3 times.
Yeah.
Right? And he handles it so much better than most of us would handle it.
He does. I'd be sabotaging
his bike.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd be like, oh, here's a little salt for your tank.
I'd be farting on his seat.
Yeah. You know? I'd be like carving my initials into his tire.
Yeah.
Right?
You know? He handles it so well. Now, maybe he goes home and kicks his dog. I don't know, but he smiles.
That would make me hate him.
He handles it really, really well. Imagine he start on the pole in the second thing and
still not enough.
And right. And he was fast. He's fast off the, yeah,
he was
the
fast.
Start. What do you do? Now, you know, Chaz Davies was outrageously fast, but getting passed by your, when you're on the pole and your teammate's in, what, eighth spot.
And passes you.
And he ends up passing you and beating you pretty handily at the end of the race because you, and he's, his.
Not, and not manager. Just once, right?
No, not just
because
once.
Because they restarted the race.
Yeah.
Which,
right? So he had, there was a ton of red flags.
Yes.
World Supersport had some red flags. Yeah. They had red flags. World Supersport, I think, was red flag twice.
Yeah, arguably, the red flag in the second race really, really worked out well for Chaz Davies.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say, right?
It definitely helped him. Yeah.
Although he was charging, I think it helped a lot.
It helped a lot. Bringing the field back down. He was well behind in seconds.
Yes.
I mean, he was the number of seconds he was behind Tom Sykes at that point when it got red flag. To me, Tom Sykes probably said, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. F-U-F-I-M.
Of course.
Well, has there been a more spectacular wreck than that caused that first red flag?
The firing, blowy up
crash?
It was and it would have been better if it had been a Qatar at night.
Yeah.
Right?
That's about it. Or the bike had flown into the wall there. Was it Jerez with the big brick wall?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Right? Like, if it hit that, like, midway up the wall, I'd be like, oh, greatest wreck ever.
It was still pretty impressive,
It was still, you know, you don't see them a lot of times catch on fire like that.
Yeah. No.
And it looked to me like that piece of his fender fell.
Well, he had a little help. He had a little? Yeah, right.
A tad.
Yeah, that piece of fender fell into between the forks. He couldn't turn, so he just bailed, lucky for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about all the guys running off through the chicane?
There was more than a few of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, and then they're dropping back. I mean, some of those was gift horses. Some of them, I think, dropped back too far.
Yeah, I mean, it was outrageously hot. And that always makes it, when it's really, really hot like that, it's, it gets kind of greasy, right? Because you lose the rubber on the track starts to get real slick, right?
Yep.
It doesn't provide the grip that it provided. You like to have a little rubber on the track, but you don't like it when it's the track temperature's up in the 120 Fahrenheit temperatures, and then it gets very, very slick, and the bikes don't slow down, and you end up just running off into the gravel. So, but
the
other thing too, we should also mention that before that spectacular crash in the second race in World Superbike, when that happened, this doesn't happen very often, when you had that big spectacular fire, but that thing was laying down a quarter mile of oil.
Did you notice
on the track?
They put the concrete dust on, which dries it up really quick, but the dust is slippery.
They should. Why did they bring a vacuum out and suck all that up?
They do, but a certain amount of it stays down no matter
what.
It looks like it's a lot more on TV than it really is because it gets.
But they were throwing up
the
clouds
asphalt,
of dust as they were going
in America.
Yeah, in America.
We have that tractor with the broom thing out front that beats that stuff off.
Yep.
You know, it's like Ken at the transmission shop. Right? Beat it off.
Tranny shop.
You
screwed yourself up.
But
if you want more on that, go to patreon.com/NTN.
What is
very good, Warren?
It's tag teaming.
If they just go to patreon.com, they don't do anything.
Yeah, there is a lot of tag teaming going on that end of the table. but in America, we get rid of that stuff, and then we send the jet dryers out, and then Juan Pablo Montoya runs into them.
That's right.
That's how that happens in America. But yeah, that made for some unique racing itself, just having that line of slippery.
Yeah, it made it interesting. It was interesting to me, the people that didn't have any problem crossing it, because Rea did take a line that took him through there every lap through that. So it obviously wasn't affecting him at all.
No, but some guys it did.
Some guys it
slid them out and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think all in all, it was a good race weekend.
It was definitely a good racing weekend for Davies. There's no question about that. You know, Hang on, Phil.
Control, Phil. I caught it.
It's okay. You don't have to fart on the air. Okay, so
it was a good racing weekend for the fans.
If you can see the races.
It all depends upon your point of view.
If you can see the
some fans might not have been real happy
with, you know, Johnny Ray has got a pretty decent fan base out there. Might not have been real happy with the red flag, which I think really ended up hurting him probably the most.
Probably. Yeah. Right, because he might have been able to win that race.
And Tom Sykes just smiled about it. Oh, well, screwed up.
Tom Sykes was like, ah, well, you know, whatever. Que sera, sera. Let me go cash my check.
Yeah.
And then we have the biggest news of the week.
But the least surprising news of the week.
Yes.
Okay.
It's definitely the least surprising.
Well, it was surprising in that it came so soon.
Not to me at all.
Not to me at all.
Yeah.
Well, no, you guys were saying, what we're talking about is Ryan Dungey retired today.
Yes.
And will not race anymore.
Right. No more he's not going to race the motocross season.
Mm-hmm. And you guys kept saying he'll go through motocross and then retire.
Well, I thought he might. Okay, I didn't say that.
Last week, and if you go back, roll the tape back in there, I said he's gonna retire now because there's literally... he was gifted the championship in Supercross this year. That's when you bow out.
Yeah, and in his Facebook Live thing, he said his heart wasn't into racing this year.
It showed.
It was hard for him to go out.
And we mentioned that a couple of times based on some of the comments he had after the races.
It showed. It showed.
But he announced, definitely legendary stats on some of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
81 wins, I believe.
Something like that. He's a 2009 West Coast.
12 championships.
2009 West Coast champion, 2009 250 motocross champion, 2009 Motocross of Nations, 2010 450 champion, Supercross, 2010 450 motorcycle or motocross champion, 2010 and 11 the Motocross of Nations, 2012 motocross champion, 2015 Supercross champion, 16 and 17 Supercross champions.
But he'll never be able to erase the one stat that probably troubles him the most. He couldn't win a Supercross championship against Ryan Villopoto while he was there.
Well, except for that first year where Villopoto got hurt, right? His rookie year, Villopoto was
when he got
fine.
Hurt, he didn't beat him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
He's still the champion.
Tom Sykes will take the championship if Ray gets hurt.
You know, here you go. He also never beat a healthy Roczen for the championship.
True. That is true.
Right?
That is true.
You know, and I mean, he had what? His worst finish, Robert DaCosta said it during the press conference, right? Ryan Dungey's worst point standing finish was third.
Yep.
Right? At the end of the year, the worst he did was third. He had a bunch of runners up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just a solid. I mean, and that goes from 52 races, not fourth or better.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean.
Yeah, he had a hell of a streak.
He had some streaks in there, over 90% of the time on the podium. I mean, high 90%.
He got two ESPY awards and was the first motocross rider on a Wheaties box.
First motorcycle rider, period.
Was he the first motorcycle rider?
I've done some searching. I haven't found any motorcycle riders ever on racers, right? I don't know if Evel Knievel was on.
I don't think Evel Knievel would fit the Wheaties profile.
Yeah, he would.
Wheaties
they'd
and
have to
beer
wrap around the box.
Wheaties and beer is very good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he was the only motorcycle racer to be on a box of Wheaties, which is just a huge thing, right? I mean, one day he's going to be a woman.
I guess it's a huge thing because Wheaties is an American thing. My guess is Valentino Rossi's probably been all of her products in Europe, right?
Yeah, but is Valentino Rossi going to be a woman one day? No, not like Ryan Dungey.
He might already be for all.
Yeah, yeah. He kicked over Marquez.
That's right.
And that other woman in the
That's right,
crowd,
yep.
Right? But yeah, so he announced his retirement. You know, I'm kind of glad, right? It's better than watching
better
him Chad
sport.
Reed.
It's better for the sport.
It's
yeah.
better for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
There was no announcement on who's going to take his motocross ride.
No, they didn't do any of that. They didn't. There was no speculation.
There was even no speculation except for what we were putting up on Facebook.
Let's start a rumor right now. Can we do that?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Chad Reed.
Horrible
prediction.
Love it. Jordan Smith probably would be the logical KTM rider to move up.
If they're going to move a KTM rider up.
If I was KTM,
usually I don't know that they do that in motocross. Motocross is a completely different animal.
Yeah, if I was KTM, I would be talking to, I would say to Adam Ciancerola, hey, we can move you up now. Switch to leave Kawasaki.
Mm.
Maybe, but you know what his contract situation is either. So
yeah, I don't. But there's always buyouts and switchouts.
Right? J.D. Beach.
Oh.
He could do it.
Yeah.
He's probably one of those few writers out there who could do it. Who could switch and win a championship.
Do you have any idea how many fist pumps I would be doing if all of a sudden next week it came out that J.D. Beach was...
He'd have to fly. You know, you guys got to give me a private plane so I can fly between the venues.
More importantly, he'd have to have us, like when they're at like High Point or whatever that is down in Blountville, down in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He'd have to have the doghouse as his biggest supporters for racing other forms of racing.
We'd do it.
Yeah, I would totally go.
It's like, what's his name in, you know, NASCAR, who flew from Indianapolis down to the Daytona 500.
The Busch.
No, it was the Charlotte 600. Kurt Busch did it.
Kurt Busch did
Tony
it.
Tony Stewart's
done it. Juan Pablo Montoya has done it.
Mm-hmm. Now J.D. Beach could do it for motorcycles.
That would be even more impressive because that's a lot harder to race those than to sit in a car.
It's so different going from one form of motorcycle racing to another. The skills required are so different.
So that's the doghouse news for this week.
All right. Next week, we promise we will not bitch about Moto America. We're done.
That's because they're not racing next weekend.
I will promise that because they're not racing next week.
Well, and we've probably said all that we even need to say about it. We've covered
The racing.
Please tweet at them and tweet at Josh Harron and tell him why you don't go to the track. Yeah. Right?
But be supportive of him, the guy. Be
supportive of all the racers with the exception of one. Be supportive of all of them, but let them know. Let them know there's a problem, that you don't know when the races are, whatever the problem is. Maybe they're scheduling against your dog's haircut appointment. I don't know.
All right. We're out of here.